Welcome to Faith Break, finding God moments in your everyday. Each week on Faith Break, hosts Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher bring spiritual refreshment to your daily life. Today is January 12th, 2025, the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. Karen and Ann explore how Jesus grew into his fully human and fully divine identity, and how he came to understand God's call for his life.
Welcome back to Faith Break. I'm Karen Luke.
I'm Ann Gallagher.
And we are sharing our God moments in everyday life and trying to find them.
Yep.
We are moms. We are ministers in the church. We are coworkers.
And friends.
And friends. And wives. And add that all to the
all
list.
The hats.
It's crazy. But this weekend is the scripture passages are about the baptism of the Lord.
The Feast of the Baptism
the
of the
feast.
Lord. You're allowed to take your Christmas tree down now
yes,
if you haven't
it's
already.
It's officially end of Christmas.
Yes. I love this feast day.
Tell me more.
This is one of the, it's just, so we have all these stories of Jesus's birth and soon after in Matthew and in Luke, but we don't, there's this big stretch of time, decades of time between the infancy narratives and when Jesus started his public ministry. So because, the Baptism of the Lord is sort of Jesus's entrance into public life. I like to take this chance to think back and imagine where the heck was Jesus? What was going on all those years that we don't have any scripture stories about? So that's what we're going to explore today.
So we know that we have the infancy narrative that he was born, obviously. And then we don't hear much until after King Herod was dead.
Right.
And then they
right.
got to go back. But then the next time we hear about Jesus was when he was 12 in the temple.
Right. So we're going to do some imaginative reflection on what Jesus might have been like as a child, as a teenager, and as a young adult. This is our jam right here, right?
I love it.
But first, I got to find out what your God moment was.
Oh, shoot.
This week.
I forgot about God moments.
No worries.
So my God moment is we were at a family gathering, and my aunt brought an old school game of Old Maid.
Oh, nice.
And now my family,
When was the last time I played Old Maid?
Right?
I don't even
but
know.
My kids and Jer and I, we play a lot of games, but they're the board games and other card games. I didn't realize it. My kids had never played Old Maid.
Because they're so far beyond that. They're so sophisticated in their game taste, probably, right?
Sure. But this was my God moment.
Aww.
It was my two aunts and myself and my daughter.
Aww.
And we were playing at the table, and it was hysterical because I stupidly thought that Molly Maid was the Old Maid. So every time I got the Molly Maid card, now are you familiar with Old Maid?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played that in forever.
It's a matching game.
Right. Go Fish, right?
It's Go Fish, but you pick out of other people's hands instead of asking them. And so there's Teacher Tom and Scuba Sam. It's all these professions with the name of the person that matches their profession. So here I thought I was getting the Old Maid
Molly
Maid. Then I got really confused because then there was two, because I follow. I was like, okay, so my aunt just took the maid for me, but then I noticed that I got one from Emma. So I was like, how is there two old maids? And I was confusing myself.
Funny.
So then Emma ended up getting the Molly maid and put him down. I was like, so is that the game? And my aunts were hysterically laughing at me. They're like, you of all people should know how to play this game, because that was what we used to play when I was little at my grandparents' house.
Was it the same deck, or was it a new version of the deck?
So I asked my aunt, because it was old school looking cards.
Right.
She says she got them from Kmart.
Yay!
So it was
Kmart hasn't existed in a while.
Old school.
Yeah. From the Kmart.
So that was my God moment. It was just fun being a kid again with my kid.
Isn't there something about the multiple generations?
Yeah.
Having like three generations in any conversation like that is always really
It was really fun. And then watching like, so my two aunts are sisters. So watching them get mad at each other about things was like hysterical because they're in their like 50s and 60s and they're like tit for tatting.
Right.
So yeah, that was my God moment. It's just being present with my fam. How about you?
So, well, I was still, because we're at the beginning of the new year, still kind of in January here, and we're thinking about Jesus as a young adult. So I got thinking back towards my own young adult years and some things. So this is kind of sort of a God moment, like in reflection, in retrospect, because I have a group of girlfriends from college that I still see. We get together for Labor Day weekend every year. We've done it for 25 years. We have a group chat that is like super active and a lifeline where we're just like talking about things. And it was one of my blessings of 2024 that my former roommate Meg came for the eclipse way back in April, but she brought her, she has three kids under the age of 10, and she brought all three of her kids and they stayed with us. And she, we just had a great time. And like, she wanted to know all about our house and all about like our neighborhood and all about the, like, she wanted tours of both churches and she brought her kids to mass. And we just had this whole, like, just like the amount of love in that group and in that friendship and how she was thrilled to share in my life here, even though we live states apart. Yeah. Like, it was such a blessing. And so I think, you know, when we're thinking about like Jesus at these years of his, we don't have what we know because of our own experience, and especially because of people who work with young people, is that he had formative relationships in those years. Right. And I just love imagining and praying about like, what were, who were the people who made him who he turned out to be?
Right.
Because, you know, like all those friendships you have when you're a teenager and a young adult and all the mentors you have and the people you learn from, like, it just, it makes us who we are. And I just, we know that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, but we know there were humans who influenced him and relationships that did. And I don't know. I just like thinking about those stories. So
that's great.
Here we go today.
I love that.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for the people who have been influential in my life. And let's think about how Jesus got where he was. Because what a journey he must have had.
Yeah. You know? I wish there was more. I don't know. It's, okay, here. Here's a question. Is it more fun to imagine what his years were like or to have been, do you think, or actually know it through scripture?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of more fun.
To not know.
To not know.
To be able to think about it.
Yeah. Because depending on where we are in our lives might change.
Sure.
You know, where we think.
Yeah.
What he would have done. But going back to the temple when he was 12, like,
yes,
I,
let's do an overview.
How should we do this?
I'm going to do an overview of like what scripture does tell us.
Okay.
And then we'll go into like what we imagine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cause you're so amazing.
So here, like the scripture, the Gospel of Mark just starts with Jesus's baptism.
Yeah.
So he's an adult starting his ministry when Mark starts. So we're not really going to talk about Mark. We're not really going to talk about John cause it's its own thing. So for today's purposes, we're going to talk about Matthew and Luke primarily. So in Matthew, we have the story of Jesus's birth. We have the visit from the wise men. And then we have the flight to Egypt. Okay, so after Jesus was born, King Herod felt threatened and, you know, there's
another king.
But he kind of overreacted and he
massacred
all the baby boys. All right. This is like, this is not funny, Karen. But so the Holy Family, Joseph got warned in a dream and they go to Egypt. And then Joseph eventually has another dream telling them, like, Herod had died. It's safe and you can come back. Okay. Yeah. So the bottom line is that in the Gospel of Matthew, what we know of Jesus's childhood is that he was a political refugee. And I looked this up yesterday. And did you know that Egypt is 1,200 miles from Jerusalem?
No.
1,200 miles. Can you imagine making... That's like across the freaking country from here. It would take us Just imagine going 1,200 miles in an airplane with a baby.
Geographically, where would that be from?
It's like halfway across the country, right? Like,
I don't know. It's not long.
So I'm saying it's a lot longer.
It's a really long way.
A really long way they had to travel. And
they're traveling by,
who knows?
A donkey, probably.
A camel. I don't know how they were traveling, but it was a long trip. It had to have been dangerous. And they think, like, there's, they're not certain how long they were in Egypt, but they think it was at least 3 or 4 years.
Probably took them that long just to get there.
Possibly up to 7. Right. So we have, like, all of Jesus's preschool years and possibly, you know, most of his young childhood was spent away from home. And we don't know if there were, like, other relatives there or
who else was
Joseph was doing. We know he was a carpenter, so maybe, you know, he had a trade
and
there.
And he was on the older end, we know.
Well, we think so because we don't hear from Joseph again after that. So we would assume that because we have stories of Mary from when Jesus was an adult, but we don't have stories of Jesus that maybe he would have passed away. So that's what we know from the Gospel of Matthew. We have this story of going to Egypt and coming back and then nothing again until the baptism. And in Luke, we have the Christmas story and we have the shepherds and the angels and he's presented in the temple. And then we do get one bonus story of Jesus as a 12-year-old.
I love that story.
It's the favorite story of youth ministers everywhere. And it is when Jesus is 12 and every year the Jewish families go to Jerusalem for the Passover, for the, you know, to worship together. And Jesus gets lost and stays. Well, he knows where he is.
He doesn't get lost. He stays.
He doesn't tell his parents where he is, though. And they travel for days back home before realizing that he's missing and then they travel all the way back to Jerusalem and they find him in the temple talking to the
priests,
to the rabbis, the high priest, right? And
the best line of that.
Go.
Okay, the best line is like, Mary is like, what were you doing? He's like, why would you have not known I was at my father's house? Like, duh. He's just like so nonchalant about it.
Right. So it's interesting because at that time, I mean, you know, 12-year-olds, right?
Oh, I'm living it right now.
Me too. They're right. Well, my kids are slightly older, but they're right in that middle between like childhood and like adulthood.
They're like pushing
and adolescence,
the limits.
Right.
Of...
So for a 12-year-old boy at that age, like he's, you know, he's not quite young enough to still be with like the moms and the kids, but not quite old enough to be with the men. And they would travel in like a caravan with multiple families. So they would be like the men would travel together and the women, the children would travel together. So it's not like a bad parenting thing. Like how they didn't notice, like it was reasonable that Mary and Joseph could have thought
they were
Jesus was with the other parent. Yeah. Right. Okay. But just like, I can't read that passage without hearing the snark.
Yes.
And the
staff. Oh my gosh.
And maybe, you know, maybe it didn't come out that way when Jesus said it.
I don't know. I think it kind of did.
Yeah.
Because like, but that's the other thing is like, we know that he knew, and you know, when he started his ministry, when he was like 30. Mm-hmm. So he had to have known at 12.
Right.
Or before. So, like, what else was he doing during that time? So, like, I'm kind of reading it as, like, Mary told him who he was. And when that came out, he's like, well, why wouldn't you think I was here? Like, this is what I was born for.
It raises all these other questions, right? Because you're like, what did they tell him growing up about what happened at his birth?
Yeah.
About what God promised to...
And if,
Mary and
if the angels came to Mary and Joseph, maybe they came to Jesus.
So, you know, because he's fully human and fully divine, we're never going to know the answer to this. But we humans have to grow into our self-knowledge of who we are and where God's calling us.
Sure.
But he was also divine. So maybe he had that. But maybe it was both. Right?
Yeah.
It probably was both, that he knew some things or knew somehow and still had to grow into it. So, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine as a parent being like to a little 2-year-old, well, now you're the son of God, so you have to behave this way, right? Like, that doesn't feel right. But they must have prepared him somehow.
Right. But I don't, I don't get the impression from the stories that we hear of Mary. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember, he was, they were close in eight. I mean, that sounds gross, but like she was only 15.
Right.
So by the time he was 12, she was in her middle 20s.
30s, maybe, yeah.
You know? So like, I totally forgot where I was going with this.
I think it's just like, how do you raise the son like, of God as a child? And
yeah. Like she was probably questioning a lot of stuff too, mm-hmm. and not totally understanding what was going on. Like,
and that 12-year-old age is like, I mean, parents, you know, it's like so fraught. And we, you know, the challenge becomes we know our teens are going to like, they're going to take a step away and they're going to take a step back. And they're going to take two steps away and they're going to take a step back. And like, and you can see Jesus in this passage, like beginning to risk and beginning to let go of the parents who had taken care of him and beginning to test the waters and to see, because he wasn't heading to a safe place. If he, you know, I mean, I think he must have even at that young age had an idea that if he followed God's call to the end, that it was going to be difficult. It was going to be challenging. Yeah. It was going to be outside everybody's comfort zone. And so we see this adolescent Jesus just kind of starting to test the boundaries a little bit here, just like every teen does. But for him, the stakes were so much higher.
Yeah.
What he had to navigate.
So I had a little bit of a moment like this. Can I throw in the story really fast?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were at the mall. We took two separate cars and we're leaving the mall. And my daughter was like, I want to drive with you. And my son says, I want to drive with Dad. I was like, okay. So I get, you know, we get in the car, we drive home. And I stayed in the car for a second before I actually got out. So did Jeremy. So when I got out, my son was not in the car.
Oh, jeez.
And I panicked I'm like, you did bring Connor home, right? Like, and Jared's like, what do you mean? I thought you had him. And I was like, what? And he was just messing with me. Connor had already gone in the house, but I was just like, so like that moment of panic, I could totally relate to. But it was just, I mean, what are you going to do? But going back to Mary, like from what we hear from her, I kind of get the impression that she was like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Like she said yes to God.
Her trust was so
complete. Trust was so complete that I don't get the impression that she was like, you have to act this way or this way.
But I think she panicked when she lost it.
Yes, I think she did.
Because how could you not?
Absolutely. But, like, I think she kind of just was giving him the way that I see it. Mm-hmm. It's like giving him the childhood that she got.
Right.
Until it was his time to do what he needed to do.
Yeah.
So.
You ever have those moments when you look at your children when they're really young and you just kind of get a glimpse of who they're going to be? Like when they're older, I don't know. I feel like I've had a couple moments as a mom when I've like thought about that. Like I remember my oldest when he was in preschool, there was a little kid who cried every day when his mom left. And Liam would just go sit with him. Aww. And he wouldn't like say anything. Like he was only like 3 or 4, right? But he would just go sit with the kid who was crying for his mom. And I'm like, oh, that's his superpower. I hope he doesn't like lose that.
Yeah.
And then of course there's all the teenage stuff that happens, but I know that's still in there, you know?
Yeah.
And like with Bridget, like she just had such a strong will about her, even from I just have this image of her. We were going to, Fridays are my day off. So we always used to have like Liam and Mommy Day or Bridget and Mommy Day on Fridays, and it was Bridget and Mommy Day. And we were going to go to the Strong Museum and she had ideas about her wardrobe and what she was going to wear. And she's at the top of the stairs and she's holding like everything she owns. And she was like just determined that she was going to put these clothes on and she was going to, I don't know. And then she fell down the stairs and broke her wrist. But that moment of her, like, just the will, I'm like, oh, yeah. That's going to serve her well when she's older. And I think about the Holy Family and I'm like, there must have been those flashes when Jesus was small, when his parents looked at him and were like,
yeah,
God's giving you the gifts you're going to need to be who you have to be.
Yeah.
Right. And so the question as parents is always like, well, how do we nurture those things without
hovering,
yeah. sending our kids to lifetime of therapy, like all that jazz. So I don't know.
Yeah. But then we don't have anything from 12 until 30. So
maybe he was grounded.
He was grounded for that long.
He ran away and he was grounded till he was 30. No.
Well, when he came, like when he started his ministry, everyone was like, isn't that the carpenter's son? Like, so
we know he must have had a trade.
He must have. And usually in that time, mm-hmm. whatever trade your father was mm-hmm. kind of what you did. So he must have been.
Right.
In carpentry or of something. And it was a small area. So I'm sure he knew everybody.
Right. Lived in a small town.
Right. And we obviously know he didn't perform or do anything crazy. Because his first miracle
right,
was...
Right, he wasn't, like, performing lots of miracles in his hometown growing up.
Like, I heard some conspiracy theories.
Oh, boy. Are we going down this rabbit hole?
Well, when I was, like, searching, like, I was doing research for this, and I was like, where was Jesus, you know? And they're like, oh, he was in this far-off land learning from these shamas, you know, these mystics.
There's all those
like, all these things, like, theories that he
the
really...
The Essenes? Do some people think he went...
The what?
The Essenes? Is that a group they thought
remember.
He went? I don't know.
I don't remember hearing that. But it was like, I never... this is the first time that I had ever heard that. Was like just the other day.
So you got to take what you read on the interwebs with a grain of salt.
I've never heard that.
But we do know that he would have had a job.
Yeah.
For sure. He would have had friends in his town.
And okay, I'm going to bring this back up. If you haven't watched The Chosen,
I know.
Watch it. Because one of the scenes.
Yeah. I do.
But one of the scenes, actually all the scenes when he's with the apostles. Mm-hmm. So Jeremy came down to watch with me one time, and he's like, wow, this is really cool. Like, he's so personable. Mm-hmm. Like, he's funny. And I was like, well, you know, yes, it's a story. We don't really know if, like, that's what he was. But I've always considered Jesus as, like, my friend, my buddy. Yeah. So when I was watching those episodes when he's, like, laughing with them mm-hmm. and teasing them and, like, swimming and stuff like that, I was like, dude, I totally would want it. That would be like, that would be the friend group that I would want. So like he obviously had, can't really say obviously because I don't know, but like this charisma or something about him.
Well, he would have been a good friend.
Right? Yeah.
He would have been a good son. He would have been a good neighbor. Right? But one of the things I was wondering is like, is there one of the moments we have as adults is like when our parents, when we move from our parents taking care of us to more like taking care of our parents as they age.
Yeah.
And I wonder what that was like for Jesus, because since we don't have any Joseph stories after the very beginning, like when did that shift happen? Like he must have moved especially given the culture of the time, to being his mother's caretaker at some point, even if she wasn't physically in need, just like financially and socially, she would have needed to rely on him.
Right.
And so that raises the stakes for him personally, too, when he goes off. Like, he probably left a good business to go and be an itinerant teacher.
Yeah.
And spread the good news and die on a cross.
And then also,
and what did that mean for Mary, right?
Right, yeah. Because, like, she wouldn't have been able to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's why he has that scene from the cross with John.
Yeah.
You know, I give you your son and your mother.
Yeah.
Because he was worried about how she would be taken care of when he was gone. You know, I mean, he was a human person with human responsibilities and relationships, too.
That's what's, like, so mind-boggling about Jesus is we tend to forget, like, I think I've said this before, but he wasn't 50% human, 50% divine.
100, 100.
He was 100, 100.
Yeah.
And, like... He was able to have these relationships as the human that he was. Mm-hmm. And he wept for us. Mm-hmm. And he celebrated with us.
Right.
And he knew what he needed to do. And he even, like, for a second in Gethsemane, wanted to get out of it.
Right.
He's like, but I can't.
Right. Yeah, if it's possible.
So it's like all this turmoil yeah. and, like, frustration and having that close. I feel like him and Mary had a very close mm-hmm. relationship, mm-hmm. you know. And, like, just knowing what was going to happen, even when he started his ministry, because a lot of in scripture we hear, it's not my time, it's not the time, it's not the time. Yes. So he knew when that time was, but no one else did.
Right.
And like,
that was something I was thinking about too, because so we're doing the feast of his baptism this week. But what happened right before his baptism is that he spent 40 days in the desert.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I wonder is like, what sent him to the desert? Like, was it just the fulfillment of when his prayer and his life told him it was the right time? Or, like, was there some kind of inciting incident that, yeah. like, pushed him to do that? I mean, there's no way of knowing, but...
Right.
Because think about, that was, like, a moment where he spent a significant time away. Like, and there's no, like, you know... rest stops in the desert and like food and water. Do you know what I mean? Like he was yeah. in the desert. He wasn't in like a fancy retreat house somewhere. He was in the desert. And then he made this like giant life change.
Yeah.
It changed. He didn't go back. He never went back to his old life after that. And so one of the questions I have, and I have no answers for it, is what sent Jesus into the desert?
Yeah. I never thought about it like
yeah.
that.
That's We're one not going to know.
Yeah. And that's one thing about, like, if you read scriptures like a book, mm-hmm. you're just going to read it and be like, oh, okay, that's the next chapter.
Right.
You know, when we read scripture, it's really good to either imagine yourself in it or ask those questions, like, mm-hmm. what's being left out? With the four gospels, you have the synoptic gospels. So like there's, I took a whole class mm-hmm. at NAS. Like you look at right. each passage side by side and who left what out and
it's
why.
So interesting.
And each writer wrote to a different group of people. Mm-hmm. And you get like these little bits and pieces and stuff. But like what was missing? Why, what was it? Or was it not even significant that they didn't feel like they needed to?
Yeah.
Put it in there.
I know. Huh. It's just, there's so many, it's so fun to imagine Jesus as being like a real person.
Yeah.
I gave a reflection on this gospel on this feast day many, many years ago. And I got good feedback, but one person was really mad at me because as part of my question, I asked the question, I was like, well, did all the girls have crushes on you? And like, did you ever fall in love or do you ever have your heart broken and mm-hmm. stuff? Because it would have been expected for him to have been married long ago.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, in the culture.
And he wasn't. And so what was that about? And she was like, well, Jesus always knew where he was going and he would never have done that. And I was like, I don't think we know what Jesus would never have done. Like, I just right. don't think we know.
Yeah, that would be like assuming that every priest never had a girlfriend in middle school or high school.
Right. Mm. And some of them have stories.
And
I've heard some of the stories.
I don't know if I want to hear those things. No. yeah, that's... But can we get into the baptism?
Let's do it.
Okay. Because I love John.
Oh, I know.
I love John. Like, I love him because he was so crazy, quirky, and I fell in love with him even more watching The Chosen.
Oh, he paved the way, right?
Yeah.
He was that fearless, exactly, like, just...
what he needed to do, and he did not back down.
Prophet.
And the love that mm-hmm. he had for Jesus, you mm-hmm. know. And when he even said, he's like, I would just be happy dusting off his shoes.
Right.
And when Jesus asked him to baptize him, he's yeah. like, no, you are to baptize yeah. me. And that exchange of, like, cousins.
It changes everything when you see it not just as a... coming of age story for Jesus, yeah. but as a family story yeah. between the two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were just like this moment of like Jesus was giving John that moment mm-hmm. that John deserved for everything that he yeah. did.
And maybe Jesus wanted his blessing oh, yeah. on where he was going, you know?
Yeah.
Because John probably more than anybody, except for maybe Mary, would have understood what it meant for Jesus to take those first steps.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that. That's yeah. true. And they were around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
But John's ministry started earlier.
Right.
Before. Right. Before Jesus's. But yeah.
That's a whole other question. We haven't even talked about like John's missing years.
John's missing
How
years.
Did he become the crazy person he became?
Eating locusts.
Eating locusts, wearing the hair and all that. And I mean, that's another great thing to think about. How did he get to where he was? Because he was kind of, in a lot of ways even more like anti-establishment than
oh,
Jesus
yeah,
was.
Yeah, he was.
They were a bunch of troublemakers,
they
weren't
were.
They?
Mm-hmm. Well, they were. Yeah. 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 And, you know, what's interesting is like they were political. They pushed mm-hmm. the boundaries right. of the norm.
Right.
And
for sure.
they did it with love
mm-hmm.
and compassion and an understanding that what they were doing was bigger than them.
Right.
It wasn't the fame
right.
that they were going to get.
No. And so even though these years are missing for us, we can trust that in those years when they were both John and Jesus were with their parents who raised them in faith and their communities, that they received the graces that they would need to walk the path that God laid in front of them.
Yeah.
And both of them surrendered all kinds of other dreams to do that, right?
Yeah.
For stability well, or family or
cultural
home.
Dreams.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. What it would have been the norm of what they were supposed to do.
Right.
But who's to say that that was even yeah. their original dream anyway?
I know.
Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who would marry John and live in the desert and eat locusts?
Not me. You might.
I don't live in the desert. I don't know about
he
eating.
He might have been a camper.
I don't know about eating the locusts, but.
I don't know.
But living in the desert, I probably could do that. And,
yeah, you know, that's interesting because I, you know, like, would Jesus have been happy living the life of a carpenter in Nazareth forever, right? He was called to more. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, like, he was called to more. So there must have been, like, a restlessness inside, even going back to when he was 12 and stayed in the temple, right? Like, that that compelled him.
Yeah.
Into God's dream.
We talked
about it. Maybe it doesn't come from a sense of peace all the time. Maybe it comes from a sense of dissatisfaction or unease that.
You think he ever like got to the point that he's like, I just want to get this over with. I know I'm going to die, so let's just.
I don't know.
Like
I don't know. That's
I don't
interesting.
Know. Like, I would not want to know my hour.
The time or the
my
right.
time or the place. Because then I would always be, like, checking my back and doing all that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or just never leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, knowing that, that was, like, a heavy.
You know, I had a friend almost 2 years ago. She died of a brain tumor. And it was really sad. But, like, once she had her diagnosis, she lived her whole life as though, like every day was full. And I wonder, in how she died, she showed us all how to live. And I wonder if with Jesus knowing he wasn't, you know, that he was going to be called to the cross, if that, because you read like all of scripture and it just seems like he just went all in. Like he was healing people. He was forming these relationships with the disciples and, you know, he made every minute count. And he knew when to take time away and that that wasn't wasted time. It was all part of it. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to think about. But yeah, all the graces that he stored up in those missing years were what sustained him through his life and his death and his resurrection. So you got anything else for today?
Well, not only did he took the time to pray and to be with God. So in the chaos of everything too that we are living in, and the chaos of life or jobs and family and the sandwich generation we've talked about, taking care of parents and kids, you know, taking that time for you.
And trusting that God is giving, has given us the graces we need to carry us through the road that he puts in front of us.
Yeah. And it goes back to our words, promise and hope.
Our words of the year. Yes.
So,
Okay. I think that's all I got for this one.
Yeah. Let us know what your thoughts.
I would love to hear our parishioners' thoughts on this.
I would too.
Or just anyone who's listening or watching.
What you thought Jesus was doing.
Right, because listen, this is not, obviously we don't have scripture passages for this, so this is just us prayerfully reflecting.
And knowing 12-year-old boys, I'm sure he got into a lot of trouble.
But what do you imagine that Jesus was like as a child or as a teen or as a young adult?
Yeah, so plop it in an email or...
Put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments.
Let us
know at church.
Mm-hmm.
Love to hear your thoughts. So thank you,
everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for taking a faith break with us today. Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher are lay ministers with the parishes of St. Catherine of Siena in Mendon, New York, and Church of the Transfiguration in Pittsford, New York. More about our parishes, including weekly live-streamed Sunday Mass, can be found at stcath.org or transfigurationpittsford.org. Engineering today is by Jeff Beckett. Join us for new episodes of Faith Break each week in studio on YouTube or on your favorite audio podcast or music app.